Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands wherever you are. And just give the Lord the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Something new in my life. Do something new in my life. Do something new in my life. Today, I say, Lord, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord, we pray today and every day. Do something new in our life. Whatever is left in our lives, Lord, like you said to that young ruler, I say, yet thou lackest one thing. Whatever it is, that one thing that we still lack, make us new again. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, as we enter into the word of God, as always, we know that when your word comes, the entrance, the Bible says, of the word of God brings light. Now let that light shine in our hearts this morning. And let the Lord be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Everybody, you may be seated. Good morning, everybody. You feeling good this morning? Well, you know, if you confess it, you might just start feeling good. Amen. I feel good. Amen. Somebody say, I feel good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you will still be feeling good at the end of this message. It's a little bit sobering message. You know, we preach on faith. Even last week, as you heard in the review, it was faith. You know, how you can energize your faith through praising and worshiping the Lord. I mean, we preach on faith all the time. And, you know, it's got to be one of my favorite topics in the Bible is faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. You know, so faith is the thing that's going to get us there. You know, but there are many things in the Bible, like Paul said, he said, look, I did not shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. You know, so we can't just preach one side. We got to tell the people the whole counsel of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, I mean, we've touched on this. I've touched on it. Other preachers in this church have touched on this before. You know, but I was thinking, you know, Lord, you know, get us ready, you know, for the... I'm going to preach a little bit, but I'm also going to speak to you from the heart. You know, get us ready, Lord, for the great celebration. you know, help us make preparation for the great celebration. That's something that's coming soon. Amen. And believers everywhere, they've been talking about it for thousands of years. You know, we've been talking hundreds of years. We've been talking about the coming of the Lord. It's just at the door. But before he comes, you know, we make ready. Amen. Now, in making ready, you know, I started to search my heart and so forth like that. You know, how do I make ready, you know, for the Lord? You know, I was thinking about it and so on. And the Lord said, look, as you see the day approaching, you know, you need to talk to one another, you know, remind one another of these things, you know. And the Lord, so he brought me back, you know, and I had something else I was going to preach, but, you know, I will do this morning. And, you know, let's pay real attention. There's some sobering part of it, but I believe the Lord is still going to help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you love the Lord, say, I love you, Jesus. Amen. So let's look this morning about, you know, an important subject that if we don't consider, you know, could be the downfall of many, you know, many, many. And like I said, we've touched on this before. Other preachers have touched on it, but it's time to remind ourselves, you know, and it's the sin of pride. Hello? You still with me? You know, like I said, a little bit sobering, you know, but, you know, it's the sin of pride. Now, from the beginning, pride was a very deadly sin. The very first that we knew in God's creation that began to pollute the perfect thing that God made. How many of you know that pride was the very first sin? Some people may think, you know, it was whatever, you know, Eve did and all that, you know. Well, there's pride in some of it too. I'll tell you that in a minute. But there was pride way before Eve, way before Adam. I mean, God in the beginning, he made everything beautiful, you know. And there was one, you know, figure, you know, that was beautiful. And he really was beautiful beyond everybody else. I mean, he was the anointed cherub that covered even the throne. You know, he had instruments inside of him. He had music inside of him. He had beauty. He had stones. He had beryl. He had sapphire. He had all these wonderful things inside of him. And he was so close. He was vice regent of the whole universe, you know, close to the Lord, you know, and all that. So let's find out what happened to him. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. I want to read this quickly. I've got some scriptures to go through. They'll help me there. Isaiah 14, I'm going to read from 12 to about 15. How art thou fallen? Now, this is, you know, how are the mighty fallen? You know, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So he was in heaven at one time. Son of the morning. I mean, how many people did the Bible actually call that? You know, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? You know, and he said, for thou said in thine heart. See, this is the thing. This is the thing, folks. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Didn't even want to be, you know, on par. You know, he wanted to be above. See, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You know, that's like the place where the Lord sat, you know. And then everybody brought worship and they brought things, and you know, the angels and so forth and the Lord, and they just did things. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, that was his first undoing. You will never be like the Most High. Amen. But the Lord said unto him, thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's right. I love to say that. The devil doesn't like to hear that, but that's where he's going. Amen. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You know, and when God passed that judgment on him, God reserved him for hell. But the devil is determined to take as many people there with him. And the greatest instrument that he's using, which many people are not aware of, is this pride that we are going to talk about today. You know, that's how he's doing it. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 28. We're going to read from verse 12 to 19. Ezekiel 28. Now, this is a dual prophetic scripture, but, you know, it talks about something going on at the time, but it also refers to Lucifer in a way. You know, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. See, thou hast been in the Eden of the garden of God. That's how we know that he was talking about somebody else. You know, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond. I mean, he had all these things. You know, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle. I mean, these are almost like the things that, you know, the Bible talked about that, you know, the new city, the new Jerusalem would be made of. We preached on that some few weeks ago. I mean, he had all these things covering him, you know, gold and so on. Workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee. He had music inside of him, you know, emanating worship. He had great things. I mean, he was really around the throne, you know, and he was prepared in the in the day that thou was created. Verse 14. And he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. See? And I have said this so. The Lord made him so. And that was upon the holy mountain of God. But that wasn't, he wasn't satisfied, you know. And he said, look, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You know, my goodness. Then he really had something going for him. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. From the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You know, thine heart. See, this was his sin. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. And I also will cast thee to the ground. And I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. You know, and thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. You know, it started with a little thing, you know, and the pride immediately went to rebellion and so forth. You know, and he began to, you know, say, look, you know, you don't need to just worship the Lord. You know, I'll make things easier for you. You know, you're worshiping. I mean, everybody, all the angels and the cherubs and everybody, seraphims, was all the Lord he worshiped. And he brought rebellion. He brought rebellion in there. You know, and by his rebellion, by his craftiness, by his cunningness, he was able to persuade, you know, a third of those angels. You know, wow. It started with pride because, you know, there was so much inside of him. You know, and he wasn't satisfied with where God put him. God said, you are the anointed cherub. I set you there. And he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to be higher than that, you know, and so forth. Now, the sin of self-exaltation. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, you know. And so we see that pride was in this man or this creature, whoever he was. Sometimes God referred to him as a man, you know, but it was the devil. He said, look, I am going to bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. You know, and then they shall say among the people, they're going to look and say, wow, you know, they will be astonished because you are a terror, but you will be no more. Now, he was on top, but God cast him down because of his pride. Now, when he came, the devil, he came to Eve in the garden, you know, and he said to Eve, you know, and the Lord referred to it later on, you know, he said to Eve, he said, look, in Genesis 3 and verse 6, here's what he said to Eve. You know, he beguiled Eve and told her a few things and so forth. He said, look, God, you know, did God say that you would, you know, die and all that? You won't die. God already knows you'll be wise. He doesn't want you to be wise. He wants to be the only one that will be wise. You know, God, you know, you can be wise like God and all of that. Same thing he told to the angels. Well, why do we have to, you know, worship only God? You know, do this and do that and so on. You know, so, you know, and then when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, you know, this reminds me of a scripture in 1 John 2, I believe verse 16. But stay with this verse right here. Let me finish this. So that the tree was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Appealing to the pride right there. Want to be wise. Want to be better than you are. Want to be smarter than God, you know, yeah, and so on. You know, she ate it and, you know, all, you know, the rest of the story, all these problems we have today. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. It talks of, you know, some of the things that, you know, it talks about, you know, the, if any man, you know, love the world and so forth, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, you know, it's kind of like, you know, oh, you know, good for food and all that. The lust of the eyes, she saw something with her eyes. The pride of life, to make you wise, to make you like the gods, you become... God knows you won't die, but he knows that you're going to become one like God, and God doesn't want you to do that. He wants to be the only one to have that, you know. And so she saw that and said, oh, my goodness, that's something to make me wise. the pride of life. And he got her, you know, and so on. Now, let's take a look at all the things that self-exaltation will do. And stay with me in this message. You know, don't be, you know, you're going to find out how pride comes in so many ways. So stay with me in this message. In the book of Genesis chapter 11. In verse 4 of Genesis 11, this story, the Tower of Babel, you all know the story, but I can't read all of it because of time. These folks said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. You know, every time that people try to do that, didn't sit down, sit well with God. You know, the devil tried to do that, didn't sit well with him. These folks tried to do it, didn't sit well with the Lord either. And let us make us a name. See, pride. Let us make us a name, you know, so that we won't be scattered abroad the face of the earth. Well, they were definitely scattered. That wasn't God's plan. You know, they wanted to be something greater than God, you know, expected and that God wanted for them. And they said, well, we'll do this. We'll build, you know, we'll reach on to heaven and so forth. God said no. And God confused their language and scattered them everywhere. Now, let's look at some point blank scriptures of what the Bible says about what pride can do. You know, and stay with me in this. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to read two verses there. Verse 5 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now, abomination is a strong word, folks. And there's not too many places in the Bible that the Bible talks about something being an abomination to God. You know, the things, you know, these things are an abomination to God. Let's look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. You know, let's see, you know, turn with me to Luke 16 and 16, please. You know, no, that's not the one I want. Okay, I'll come back to that scripture in a minute. But the one that this is what I want to point out to you. Let's look at Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Turn with me to that in a minute and see what the Lord has to say. Proverbs 11 verse 2. When pride comes, you know, what does it say? Then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Let's also read Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall do what? Shall bring him low. You know, that's not a good place to be. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, let's look at, you know, some of these other verses. I'm going to tell also a story here in Matthew chapter 23. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. In this book of Matthew chapter 23, the Lord talks about, there is a story from verse 5 to about verse 12. And in this story, if you turn with me to Matthew 23. Now, it's talking about, you know, some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And say all their works they do to be seen of men. And they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Verse 6. Let's go through it quickly. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. You know, Jesus was telling them, don't do the things that they tell you to do. you may do the things that they tell you to do, but don't behave like they behave, because they tell you, but they don't do it. You know, because this is what they do. They love the uppermost rooms and the feasts, the chief seats in the synagogue. What's a synagogue? It's kind of like the temple here, you know. Want to be seen. Love the chief priests, chief seats and so forth. Verse 7, you know, what else do they do? They love greetings in the markets and to be called rabbi, you know, master and all these things and so on, you know. Now, we're not called rabbi these days, but we're called all kinds of other titles, you know. So, you know, and Jesus, he was looking into the hearts of these people and said, look, this is what they want, you know. Verse 8, be not ye called rabbi. Why not? He said, because there is one master, even Christ, you know, and ye all are brethren. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, like I said, you know, a little sobering message, you know, a little sobering message. So before I go on, let me read you the verse that I was looking for. I believe it's Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. Luke 16 and 15, it says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. I was talking about abomination. I said Luke 16, 16, but I meant the previous verse. You know, he said, for God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now, there are not too many things he calls abomination. You saw the other one where he called abomination. Now, this one also, you know, he said, he that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Now, he talks about the things which are highly esteemed among men. Honor, acclaim, you know, and applause, and all these things which are highly acclaimed among men, they are abomination in the sight of God. Can you say amen to that? Like I said, a little sobering message, but it's time for us to clean our house, get our house in order. Amen. You know, and get ourselves ready for the Lord. You know, and I'm looking inside. I'm doing some introspection, actually, and see, use the word of God. Bible says when you look at the word of God, it's like a mirror. You know, let the word of God not be a telescope or a magnifying glass to look at somebody else. Let it be a mirror to look inside. Amen. You know, people are too worried about looking at others. You know, you look inside and you take care of, you know, what's wrong in your own life. So the things that are abomination, things that people highly esteem, great name, great applause, and all these things, they are highly esteemed among men. To God, it's an abomination. I don't want to be involved in an abomination. Do you? No, I do not want to be involved in an abomination. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at a few other things. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, look, every one of us, Romans 12, verse 3, every one of us should think soberly, you know, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, sometimes people think more highly than themselves. And I'm going to bring out a viewpoint in a minute after we read this one. Galatians chapter 6. Let's read verse 3 quickly. Galatians 3 and verse 6. I mean, sorry. Galatians 6 and verse 3. My tongue is going a different way today. Galatians 6 verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Amen? Yeah. You know, what is it that Jesus, I don't have time to read some of these scriptures. I will have to paraphrase them because I'm looking at the time and I have to move forward. You know, what is it that, because there's a story I still want to tell us at the end. What is it that Jesus said, you know, about ourselves? You know, what we should do, you know, when we've done great things for the Lord. What did he say? Did he say that we should boast that we've done great things for the Lord? What did he say? He said, look, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which is our duty to do. Now, what does the Bible say about the... So here's some more scriptures about the proud versus the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. You know, God resists the proud. The last verse of it. He said, look, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Today, humility is a It's not a thing, you know, that people want. Everybody wants to lift themselves up, be proud, and so forth. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Do you know the meaning of resist? You know, that is like prevent. You know, that is like actively, you know, opposing something. You know, my goodness. You know, I don't want God to resist me. Do you? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6, I believe, tells you the same thing. James chapter 4, verse 6, if you want to look at that real quick, it says, you know, he giveth more grace. You know, he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, let's look at a story here that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. This is going to be one of the main points in this message today. In Luke chapter 18, let's look at verse 9. We're going to read from verse 9 to about verse 14. Now, this could be one of the main points in this message today. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Well, it wasn't just the being righteous that was the problem, but they despised others. So that was the key thing. You know, they thought they were better than everybody else. You know, so two men went to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. You know, and let's look at how they prayed. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself and said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I am better than all of them. You know, though these other men, they are extortioners, they are unjust, they are adulterers, even as this publican over here and so forth. But I, you know, hello somebody, I am the elect. I am the bride. I am the cream of the crop. You know, I'm better than the bunch, and I'm better than this and that and so forth. You know, and I do all these things. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this. You know, I'm in the praise team. I'm a powerful preacher. You know, I like to witness. I'm a soul winner and all that. You know, Jesus didn't argue that he didn't do any of those things. Did he argue? As a matter of fact, Jesus was the one that told the story. What the man said was right. He did indeed fast for twice a week. He was indeed not doing all those other things like other men. And he was not doing, you know, I mean, he was, you know, all those good works that he thought he had. He was doing them, you know. But Jesus made a comparison. And he said the publican, which was, they were in those days, they were known as sinners because they were tax collectors and all these other things. You know, they twisted people's hands to get more tax than the people needed to pay and all that. So he said, you know, but that man would not even so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. But he smote upon, I mean, he just bowed down. He said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. And let's see what Jesus said in verse 14. I tell you, this man, so-called publican and the sinner, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. Can somebody say amen to that? I know it's sobering, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, now, so let's look at the church today. You know, well, I'm a preacher, and preachers are the ones that are most vulnerable to these things. You know, you preach a wonderful sermon, and somebody say, oh my, that was great, preacher, wonderful sermon and so forth. Well, they're setting you up, unless you quickly return all the glory to God. Amen. You know, or somebody say, oh, you know, I love your messages. Your messages are wonderful, more wonderful than others. Well, they're setting you up. And that thing get inside your heart. The next thing you know, pride goes before destruction. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, that's what happens. So, you know, pride is a thing. You know, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. I don't think we read that one. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before, you know, destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. And then when pride gets in there, and devil, he knows how to walk that pride. Because he's been guilty of it from beginning of creation. You know. And he, you know, he walked it with Eve, and he still knows. He even tried to walk it with Jesus. He came to Jesus and said, aren't you the Son of God? Command these things, you know, and so forth. You know, you are the son of God already. You know, why go hungry and all that? He tried to appeal to his pride. And then he took him up in a high mountain, showed him a vision of all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Yes, it was a vision, because it was in a moment of time. Showed him that and said, all these things I will give unto you. He appealed to his ego. You know, I give all these things to you and so forth like that. All you got to do is do this other thing, you know, worship me and so forth like that. You know, appealed to Jesus' ego. Appealed to him there. One man came to Jesus one time, appealed to his ego as well. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why callest thou me good? You know there is none good except God. Amen. When people start to praise you, when people start to elevate you, you better quickly reject it and just push it back. Amen. And if you are the one that likes to flatter people, you know, don't set a stumbling block before your brother. If you flatter people and say, oh, you are great, and so forth, you are setting a stumbling block before them. And if they fall, you will be held responsible as well. Amen, somebody. I know I said it's a sobering message, but it is the truth. You know, so don't set a stumbling block before your brother by, you know, telling them, you know, things and making their head swell beyond what it should be. Now, this man, he thought he was better than others. Let's look at a story in John chapter 8 real quickly. In John chapter 8, let's start at verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and so forth. John chapter 8, verse 1. Let's move on, you know, to the next verses. And as he began to sit down, people talked to him. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees, this is the one I want to talk about. The scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him in verse 4, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses, in the law, he commanded us that this such a one should be stoned. But what about you? You know. So they brought her. She was right in the middle of adultery. But I noticed they didn't bring the man. Hello? You know. It takes two to commit adultery, folks. You know. Amen. You know. Man was probably one of them and so forth like that. You know. Anyway, Jesus pretended like he didn't hear them. And he began to write with his finger on the ground. Well, I tell you what, Jesus wasn't playing with his hand. Amen. It reminds me, you know, in Mount Horeb, there was the finger of God that came with the flaming fire and wrote on the tables of stone, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And began to write all those commandments, the finger of God. And I can see here Jesus writing down on the sand there. Yeah, I don't think he was playing with the sand. He probably was writing those same commandments like he did before. And every one commandment that each one of those people had broken. And he wrote it down. And when he did, you know, they were looking at him and said, what is he doing? And every one of them was pricked in their hearts, one by one by one by one. You know, because Jesus wrote all the commandments that they broke. Because he said unto them, you know, the first one among you that is without sin. Never mind whether it is adultery, whether it is whatever. If you are without any sin at all, you pick up the first stone and cast it to this woman. And I said, well, you know, we are not adulterers. We are not fornicators and so forth. Well, you know, every unrighteousness is sin. Amen. Amen. And he that keeps all the law and breaks in one place is guilty of all. Everything is sin that is sin. You know, so, but they felt that they were more righteous than this woman. And then finally, when he wrote down on the ground, probably everything he wrote convicted them of their sins. Maybe even wrote the things that they committed. Who knows? You know, then one by one, they all went away. And then at the end, Jesus looked in the midst. Only the woman was standing, and the Lord said, where are your accusers? And they said, well, Lord, there's nobody accusing me. He said, well, neither do I condemn you. Amen. Go and sin no more. Now, that's always, don't leave that part out. You know, go and sin no more. But Jesus did not condemn the woman. Now, I tell you another thing. You know, today, people are so quick to condemn. And again, it's pride. See, when you see somebody who's done something wrong, and you feel you're on your righteous horse, you know, then you condemn them. And you say, well, I don't know why they do those things. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. Does the Bible say we should be condemning the people of the world or praying for them? You know, of course, we should condemn the sin. Jesus always condemned the sin, but not the person. You know, it's a big difference. We don't condone sin. God doesn't condone sin, but he doesn't condemn the people. He wants them to come unto me. Hallelujah. Come unto me, and I will heal you. I will give you life. Ye that labor and are heavy laden under the burden of sin. And he wants them to come, you know. But what do we do today? People are so righteous today. Sometimes people don't even want God to forgive sinners. Can you believe that? It's in the Bible. You find a story in Jonah chapter 4. The prophet Jonah did not want God to forgive the people of Nineveh. That's why he ran away from his presence. You can read it in John, the first few verses of Jonah chapter 4. And he ran away because he didn't want. And when God finally, when those people turned to the Lord and began to fast and to pray, and the king commanded everybody. Yeah, I wish our leaders would do that today. Amen. Command everybody to fast and to pray and to call upon the name of the Lord and to repent. You know, and when the king did that and so forth, 200,000 people began to cry unto the Lord for forgiveness. He said, woman, man, beast, child, anybody should not eat and so forth. Call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord heard them and turned away the destruction. You know, and this man didn't want them to be destroyed. I mean, to be saved. He wanted them to be destroyed. You know, God told him to go and preach repentance. He didn't exactly preach repentance. He preached the judgment. Yet 40 days and you will be destroyed. But God took that anyway. Amen. He touched their hearts. You know, and when God saved those people and changed his mind about destroying them, Jonah was upset with the Lord. You know, he got on his righteous horse. I know that you are a God of mercy. I know you will deliver these people. That's why I ran from your presence. Because he doesn't want them to be saved. Can you imagine that? I don't know. I mean, one day when I see Jonah, I'm going to say, what were you thinking? Hallelujah. Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Come unto the Lord. And, you know, Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, you know, God's going to make them like wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Can somebody say amen to that? You know, but today, that's not what we see. And when people are even aware of something that somebody has done, they will never let that person hear the end of it. You don't even know whether they have repented. You know? But they are going to hold it over their head for the rest of their lives. I'm going to read a story to you here before I come to my other story. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 5, I love this story. Turn with me to Revelation 5 quickly, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, you know, there was a book that had seven seals. The book was written inside and on the backside, seven seals, you know. And there was a great angel that proclaimed, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And John was waiting for an answer. John was thinking maybe one of the prophets of old, one of the apostles, somebody is going to step up, you know. Nobody was found worthy. Not a single person was found. Not an angel, not a prophet, not an apostle, not a pastor. Nobody was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And John began to cry. He cried much. And then one of the elders came to him and said, don't weep, John. We got a solution. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And when John turned, he was looking for the lion, but what he saw was a bloody lamb. Hallelujah. He saw a bloody lamb. That's the only person, folks, that holds your salvation in his hands. And if your salvation were left to people, you will never be saved. Because people will never forgive you for anything that you have ever done. They will hold it over your head for the rest of your life, even when you have repented. But is that the way Jesus did it? Jesus said, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as wool. I will remove your transgression from you as far as the east is from the west. That's our Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus for that. I thank God that my redemption is not in anyone's hands. Otherwise, I can't be saved. But I thank God for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, that does that mean that we should continue in sin so that grace may abound? No, that's not what we are saying. God forbid. But, you know, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's right. God doesn't want us to sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And then you confess your sin, you move on. Hallelujah, somebody. And let's not be beating people over the head with something that they've done in the past. Because you don't know. Praise the Lord. You don't know. God's already moved on. And then at that point, you become an accuser of the brethren. That's what you become. Just like that devil. You know, you don't want to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me bring this down here and begin to move this towards a close. What is it that the Lord requires of you, folks? Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. What is it that the Lord wants of every one of us? Put it up for me, Micah 6. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, for you to do justly and to love mercy. Have mercy upon your fellow. Have compassion. You know, don't condemn them. Have compassion. And to walk humbly before thy God. Amen. Walk humbly. Don't walk in pride. Don't think you are better than somebody else. You know, don't think you got all the answers, you know. And you know, among Pentecostals, you know, I'm a Pentecostal and I'm proud to be one, you know. But among Pentecostals, this thing is so rampant. You know, people that are gifted, they think they are better than everybody else. I've been in fellowships where people that have the word of knowledge or some gift of dream or something else, they think they are better than everybody else. Just because God showed them something, now all of a sudden they think they are better than everybody else. You know, nobody is better than everybody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is the one that distributes these gifts as he wants. Praise the Lord. He can raise up stones. You know, John the Baptist began to tell, don't begin to say to yourselves, you know, we are children of Abraham, we are the bride, we are elect. God can raise up these stones if you don't behave yourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, don't think you are better than anybody else. Nobody is better than anybody else. It is by the grace of God. Amen. Now, so because you have a gift and because God showed you something, does that make you holier and better than anybody else? No. You know, consider yourself, lest you yourself fall into sin. You know, he that thinks he standeth, let him take heed. Now, God warns even against pride. You know, pride is very destructive. Even when Paul was writing to Timothy about how to choose bishops and so forth, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, he said, look, don't even appoint a novice. You know, because when he gets there, he's going to be puffed up. You know, when he's puffed up, the devil has got him. You know, because any pride in ministry, that's the condemnation of the devil, folks. When, maybe because you sing wonderfully in the praise team, maybe you are the best soul winner, maybe you are the best preacher, you know, and so forth like that. You know, any condemnation, you know, any pride that comes in the heart like that, that person will fall into condemnation of the devil, you know, and so on. You know, and sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm the one that, you know, I'm always praying. You know, I'm a prayer warrior, and these other folks don't pray. You know, I don't know what they do with their lives and so forth. If you're a prayer warrior, God made you so. Amen. Who is it that boasted of anything that he has? What is it that you have not received? If thou didst receive it, then why for do thou boast? God is the one that gave you. You know, if you're a soul winner and others are not a soul, don't worry about anybody else. Just do what God has called you. Amen. People fall into pride by saying, well, you know, we're the only ones winning souls. I'm one of these soul winners action team. So I have to caution myself all the time. So I don't say, well, why are the other people not? How do you know they're not doing it? Just because they didn't come out to join you? You don't know that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so don't think anything more than you ought to think, but to think soberly. Amen. Now, two quick stories here of how pride can really bring somebody down. You know, the best story I'm going to save for the last. You know, but here's one in Acts chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. This man was a great orator. You know, it's like they say, man, you preached a wonderful message. You know, and the thing got into his head, you know. Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and made an oration unto the people. You know, after which the people heard, they said, my goodness, that's the voice of God and not the voice of a man. You know, some people, you know, God used them to do mighty works, and they begin to say, oh, you know, I mean, that's got to be God. That's the angel of God there. And people get filled with that pride inside of them and so on, you know. And he didn't give glory to God. God put these things in the Bible. It's not all the time that God does these things. But he puts one or two of them in the Bible as an example. And immediately. Because when that pride got inside his head and they told him that, yeah, you are like the voice of God and so forth. Well, voice of God. Instead of quickly humbling himself to God, before God, he pumped himself off. And God immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him. Because he gave not God the glory. And he was eating of worms. And he gave up the ghost. And that's a sobering story. And it's in the Bible. And it's true. You know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then. The best story in the Bible is the story of Nebuchadnezzar. And many of you know the story. Even the children in Sunday school, they know this story. It's in the Bible. It's the best one. You know. And so let's review it. In Daniel chapter 4, verses 29 to 37. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of the world at that time. You know, because, you know, his kingdom ruled the world. You know, and all that. And he had a dream and so forth. And in the dream, you know, perhaps even the interpretation of the dream got into his head. You see? Because there was some dream that he saw. You know, and... You know, he saw the dream, you know, and he was a great tree. And it was interpreted that he was a great tree. He filled the whole earth, you know, and all the birds of the air come and, you know, be under it and so forth like that. And maybe the thing got into his head, you know. Although the person that gave the interpretation warned him, he did not listen, you know. And then at the end of 12 months, even though they already gave him the dream and interpretation, maybe even the dream got into his head. You know, sometimes be careful what dreams you tell people. You tell them what great things that God's going to use them to do, might even get into their head. It got into this man's head. And then he walked in the midst of the kingdom. And look at the next sentence. I've always been marveled by this. You know, in verse 30, look at what he said. The king said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power? And for the honor of my majesty. And he strutted his stuff, in, you know, over there and so forth. Like, I mean, I've done all these great things. Hanging gardens and all these things and so forth. Isn't this all the stuff? You know, because they're telling him to humble himself. They said, no, you know, it's all the stuff that I've done. Well, verse 31. While the word was yet in his mouth, there was a voice from heaven. From the watchers, the holy watchers, and the alerters. O King Nebuchadnezzar. He was still king. They didn't tell him that he's not king. But not for very long. To thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. You know, verse 32. Let's go through it quickly. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You know, and so on. And shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And seven times, that's 7 years shall pass over you. Until thou know. That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and gives it to whomsoever he will. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that. He thought he did all that by himself. Let's look at the next verse. You know, and the same hour the thing was fulfilled and God changed his body. You know, he went, you know, and he began to grow wings like an eagle, whiskers like a monkey. I mean, this was the king of the world. God turned him into a monkey. God turned him into nothing. And he went into the bush for 7 years. God put that story there in the Bible, folks. Don't think it's folklore or it is fables. It is a true story. Amen. Praise the Lord. And verse 34. Let's look at it quickly. Verse 34. Now, at the end of the days, After those 7 years had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Well, this is what he should have done in the first place. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever. He should have done that in the first place. You know, whose dominion, hallelujah, is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. I tell you something, folks. Those of you that think Nebuchadnezzar was some wicked man or whatever, he gave the most glorious praise to God in that Bible after what he went through, though. So let's read the rest of it. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He found that out. He didn't know that. He thought he was something. All the inhabitants of the earth are nothing before the Lord. And he dwelt according as he will in the army of heaven. Hallelujah. And among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Oh, every time I read this, I say, my goodness. You know, I wish I could have come up with a praise for the Lord like this by myself. This man, he came up with it and said, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and they might return my glory unto me, and so forth. Now, verse 37. Let's see. They returned into his kingdom, and he said, now, this is the summary of his story. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, which if he had done before, he wouldn't have gone through all of that. All whose works are truth and his ways are judgment. And listen to this last verse. And all those that walk in pride, he is what? Read it with me. He is able to abase. Now, Nebuchadnezzar found that out. If you walk in pride, you know, God will pull it down. And sometimes when things are not working right, maybe there's pride involved. When there is no progress in your life or in the ministry, maybe there has been pride involved, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humility can change a lot of things. I'll give you a closing story here before we pray. There was a man called King Ahab. Some of you may know his story. I mean, when he got into cahoots with Jezebel, they were something else, that pair. They did all kinds of evil, you know. And when Elijah, he came up against him, he said, has thou found me, oh, my enemy? Elijah said, yep, I found you. Come with me to 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 20 to 29. 1 Kings 21, verses 20. And Elijah brought a judgment against this man. You know, he brought all the things, you know, all the prophecies and so forth, what's going to happen and all that, you know. And let's read it through quickly. Verse 21, read with me. Verse 21, let's go through quickly. He said, I will bring evil upon thee, and I will take away thy prosperity, and cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. That's every man, you know, and him, you know, that is left, you know, shut up in Israel. Verse 22. And he began to do this, and I will make the house of Jeroboam. I mean, he said so many things against him. But let's drop down towards the end and see what God did. You know, I'm rushing through this because of time. At the end of it, you know, look to the next verse, verse 23. Let me just skip to the... He spoke of Jezebel and so forth. Then verse 24. Let's keep going. He that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and all that. Verse 25. Let's keep going. But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, which Jezebel his wife stirred him up. Verse 26. There was none like him. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all the things of the Amorites that the Lord cast out before children of Israel. Verse 27. Look at all the things that God said about this man being so wicked. But when Ahab heard all the pronouncement of judgment, and it came to pass when Ahab heard all those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted. He's a wicked man, none like him. But when he heard the word of God against him, he humbled himself and fasted and prayed, you know, and sat in sackcloth. And the Lord said, wow, seest thou how this man Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring... The evil is coming, but I'm going to prolong the evil. The evil will not come in his days, but later on in one of his generations, in his son's days and so forth. Now, humility before the Lord. But pride, he will bring anything down. You know, when you are on the mountain, pride will get you, fall you down quicker than anything else. Sin of pride is a very dangerous thing. It can creep in very small. It starts very small, but it keeps in. The next thing you know, and the Lord just reminded me of something. I didn't quite read it, but he said, go back and read it. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 23, and I will close with that. And let me see if I can find that place. Matthew chapter 23. You know, I'm going to read that, and I'm going to close with that. This was the story he was telling about the Pharisees. Let's look at verse 5. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. You know, that's where we started. And he said, this is the thing that they do, but, you know, be careful. Let me see the verse that the Lord wants me to read. I don't know what verse it is. Okay. It's actually in verse 2. Verse 2 is the one he wants me to read. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. Well, they don't belong there, but they self-exalted. See? And he just, I didn't even have that marked down in my scriptures that I wrote down here. But the Lord just told me, go back and read that, and I had to look for it. You know, they self-exalted themselves. God didn't really put them there, but they self-exalted themselves to that seat. And they wanted to be seen of men and so forth. That's a dangerous place to be. Those kinds of things can creep in very quickly and destroy lives, destroys even marriages. Pride is the thing that destroys marriages because the spouse is too proud, can't even repent and say they are sorry to their spouse, you know, and so forth. You know, destroys families, pride, you know, so many things will just destroy families. Now let's be warned in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to stand to our feet and we are going to pray. Like I said, it's a sobering, sobering message, but we must preach the jubilant message that people shout the victory and so forth. I love that more than, you know, you can think. I love to preach message where people are jumping up. I love it. But then again, you know, sometimes the Lord says, well, you know, you got to bring this as well. You know, so I got to bring that. And I didn't preach this to anybody. I preached it to the whole church. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all, which is me first. This message first, you know, to me, examine myself to make sure, you know, there is no pride creeping into my life. Because before you know it, this pride destroys so many things. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. I want you to take a minute to pray for yourself. And as the praise team comes, don't start any music yet. I want to do this prayer time quietly. You know, I want everybody to pray. What is it that God requires of me but to walk humbly before the Lord my God? Lift up your hands and pray and ask the Lord Jesus. If there's any element of pride, remember, pride brought the devil down from the highest post of any living creature. Pride brought him down and he's going down to hell. Pride is the thing that caused us not to advance because God resists the proud. Pride is a thing that makes us feel like we're better than other people. Pride is a thing that makes us not to even forgive others and think that, well, you know, why did they do that and so forth, you know. But God wants us to get rid of that from our heart this morning. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we prayed in the beginning, the entrance of your word brings light. And that light, Lord, that this word brought into our hearts, let it remain in our hearts every day. Teaching us to humble ourselves, to walk with you in humility in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Knowing that the things which are highly exalted among men, the things that people acclaim and appraise, you know, wonderful preacher, wonderful singer, great man of God, great prayer warrior, can win souls and all these things. All the things that people acclaim, that are highly esteemed among men, they are abomination to God, except we humble ourselves. Father, teach us, Lord, to remember that we are unprofitable servants, and we have only done that which was our duty to do. And most times we have not even done according to all of our duty. Father, we pray that you have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Purge the spirit of pride from us, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you and we give you all the praise and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And somebody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, he whom the Lord loves, he rebukes. Praise the Lord. Love of Jesus touches your heart and you want to give your life to Christ. What better time than this? In such an atmosphere of love. As they sing that song softly one last time, not so loud. If you want to turn your life over, I say, your love has made me brand new. If you want that brand new thing in your life today. And those of you that are watching in the airwaves, by internet or wherever, we want to give you an opportunity also. Don't let pride of heart or pride of life prevent you from turning your life over to the Lord. One last time, they sing it softly now. Come to the Lord just as you are. If you want to give your life, you just come forward. Or wherever you are, just raise your hands and thank the Lord.
Your love is patient. You fill my heart. Yeah, with so much peace and joy.
When anybody else gave you up, the Lord will never give up on you.
You're amazing. You make my life feel brand new.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you're amazing. You make my life feel brand new.
Thank you, Jesus. Hold the music.
This
Father, we thank you, Lord, for all those that have yielded their hearts to you today. No matter where they are, no matter where they are listening, no matter at what time they are listening to this, Lord. And if your love has touched their hearts and they yield their lives to you today, then we give you praise. And we give you glory because there's joy in heaven. We thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's share the grace together, everybody. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Now, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and have a good week.